Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message.
Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. I am so glad you're in the building. I just want to dive right into the word today. Welcome those that are tuning in through Facebook Live or podcast. But if you brought your Bibles today in the room, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Everybody ready for Thanksgiving? It's gonna be great. Hey, it was how many were here this past Wednesday night in this house? Was that not an incredible spread? That was the biggest biggest event we've done for our Thanksgiving. And I thank everybody who came and participated and worked behind the scenes and cooked and all of those things to make that just a special night. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Beginning with verse 19, I'm going to read 19 and 20. It says this, today, everybody say today. Today. Say right now. Right. Today I have given you the choice between life and death. Pause. That's why when I said, let's stand to our feet and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because what we failed to be intentional with and failed to recognize is there is an adversary, there is an enemy, there is a devil, and he is out to destroy our homes and our family. Amen. And he's given us the choice. If you sit silent, you will die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. That's why a couple weeks ago, I told you the Holy Spirit told me or God told me that I need to put some weight back on this house. Put some weight, responsibility back. He said, put weight on my people. I don't want to add any other words to what he said. He said, Bradley Wayne, he said, I want you to put some weight on my people. And he says, today I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now, everybody say now. Yeah. Right now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice. How do you make it? He said, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live a long life or live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to speak to you today from this simple subject, God's family plan. God's family plan. Amen. Because many of you are going to be gathering around tables and food and family members you haven't seen in a while. For some of you, that's for a reason. For others of you, it's because they just live miles apart. But you're going to be in rooms. You're going to be in homes. You're going to be in houses. You're going to be engaged in conversations. And you need to understand that God has a family plan. Say that with me. Say, God has a plan for my family. So what I'm trying to tell you is the weight that I'm putting on you this morning is don't walk into whatever dinner or family gathering that you're going to be a part of at Thanksgiving and just walk in like you usually do. No, walk in intention with intent and with purpose going, God has a plan for my family and it starts with me. I told you it's going to be quiet, God. Anytime you put weight on somebody, it's heavy. Hello. Yeah. You need to walk in. Yeah. Enjoy the turkey. Enjoy the bird. Enjoy the ham. Enjoy all the fixings. Enjoy the pumpkin pie. Y'all hungry yet? But walk in and sit down at the table with the intent. God has a plan for this family. God has a plan for this home, and it starts with me. I want to start things off by saying God is all about the family. I encourage you to take notes today because you need to be reminded of this. God is all about the family. Before he created government, Billy Graham just said it. Before God created the church, before God set in motion the responsibilities of teachers and pastors, before any of this stuff that we would think is most important, God showed us what was most important, and he created family first. Before any cities were built, he built families. Our God is a family first God. Our God is a family first God. Something that we saw Dad and Robin model for years, and that's putting the family first. But it was always a balance because he was the pastor, and we showed up to everything. Even when y'all stayed home, we still showed up, even if it was just the four or five of us. Hello. But something that as he and I transitioned, I always said, my responsibility, in addition to into sharing God's word, is to make sure that you stay healthy. And you know, we've had people who come in and they go and they go, how come y'all don't have a midweek service? And how come you don't have a spaghetti dinner on this night? And how come you don't have something on that night? And how come you don't have something on that night? First of all, usually the people who are asking those questions are the people who only show up for one event anyway. Permission to pastor? How come we're not doing? Well, that's what Dad always say. If somebody had a great idea, he'd go, that's a great idea. You leading it. Praise the Lord. But listen, because the enemy is out to destroy our families, I have a responsibility to make sure that we balance what we're doing in God's house so that your house stays healthy. Hello, somebody. Our God is a family first God. And I came today on mission to tell you that God has a plan for your family. That's my mission today. God has a plan for your family, hidden within all the dysfunction of your family. Because some of you are going, if he's got a plan, he got to work some things out first. No, the things that you think need to be worked out, he's actually trying to work through with you. Hello? The dysfunction, God has a purpose for dysfunction. Write that down. God has a purpose for the dysfunction in my family. It's so true. Listen, regardless of how your family is structured or what your family unit may look like, regardless of what the dynamics of your family may be at this moment, God has a plan for your family. And I want to take it a step further. You've heard me say this before. God has a plan for your last name. He has a plan for your last name. Your last name carries weight and great significance. If you're taking notes, write that down. Your last name carries weight and great significance. Listen, I don't know what hereditary links are connected to your name. I don't know what you think about when you think about who you are and where you came from. I don't know if you only think about all the negative stuff. Where's all my negative nannies in the house? Some of y'all got real truthful. You just look at stuff negatively. Listen, that's a chain that God can break. That's a chain that God can break. Because if all I can do is look through the lens of negativity, I'll never see and I'll never take hold of what God has for me. I don't know what you think about, but I want to tell you that according to God's word, God wants to bless your last name. I don't know if you think about the sickness that's been passed down in your family. I don't know if it's the divorce. I don't know if it's the addiction. I don't know what it is, but I came to tell you, in spite of that dysfunction, God still has a plan for your family. As a matter of fact, God told Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, I'm going to make your name great. Not I'm going to make your name famous on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. He said he wasn't talking about making Abraham famous. He was saying your name is now going to bring blessing. Your name now brings honor and greatness. Think of it this way. When people hear your name 50 years or 100 years from now, they may not remember your first name, but your last name can bring blessing here on earth. What am I saying? God wants to bless your name. Why? Because he's a God that believes in family. In Exodus 3:6, let me just read that for you real quick. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. God told Moses, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Listen, you've heard me say this before. God's plan for your family is so massive that it cannot be accomplished in your lifetime, but it will be accomplished in your lifeline. I stole that from somebody, so I'm not going to take credit. But it's unfolding in my eyes, in my very eyes. It's true. The plan for your family is so massive and is so huge that it can't be accomplished in your lifetime, but it can be, will be accomplished in your lifetime, your lifeline, excuse me. I'll give you an example. The call on my life to preach, the call on my life to minister to the hurting and the broken, that call is not specific to me. Did you hear me? It's a call that's specific to my last name. It has nothing to do with Bradley. It has everything to do with Weber. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not standing here today because of something that I've done. The only thing I did was say yes. I'm standing here today because of the heritage, God, and the legacy that my last name carries. All I did was say yes. And it's without question that I'm standing on the shoulders of those in my bloodline who answered the call. What am I saying? God's plan is so big that you can't accomplish it in its fullness. It's got to be passed down. The plan for your life is so huge. You won't be able to see. I don't know what happened to it, but there was a board about yay big that had a vision of what Dad saw for a new church facility. It used to sit on an easel somewhere around this building. The building is happening, y'all. Somebody said, but he's not here to see it. No, he just got the best seat in the house. He don't have to worry about all the distractions. He don't have to worry about how it's going to get paid for it. Hello. But it didn't happen in his lifetime, but it is happening in his bloodline. Hello. See, that's why as Christians, we believe in something called legacy, meaning we give the gift of our life to the next generation. That's why Adam and Bryn and others are leading our student ministry on Wednesday. They're giving their life. There's other stuff they could be doing. They got families, they got jobs, they got dinner. Sometimes they miss because they're serving in other areas. What are we doing? We're giving the gift of our life to the next generation. One of Dad's dreams was to have a Christian school founded through this ministry. We're not exactly sure when that'll be, but at some point in the near future, we will be launching a Christian school as an extension of Release City Church, and the name will be called Legacy Christian Academy. Why? Why? Yeah. Woo. Why? We want to give the gift of our life to the next generation. He has equipped us for the plan. If you're like, well, I'm not, the plan's too big, I can't do it. Well, you were never supposed to do it without God anyway. He'll never give you a plan that makes him obsolete. Let me say this. In 100 years from now, no one in Chiefland may know Bradley Weber, may never know Bradley Weber's name. But I promise you, they will feel the evidence of our faith. I was sharing we've had the opportunity to serve breakfast to the football team a couple times this year, this season, and Adam shared it the first one, and then I shared it the second one, and I did a show of hands. How many remember Coach Weber? And I've done this for the past 5 years, and hands were always like the room was full. They knew who Coach Weber was, and Coach D. Weber, whatever they probably had some other names, but you know that was between them and Dad, whatever. And so, but every year as I would ask, the numbers of who knew went slimmer, and Coach. Coach Wasson came up to me. I'm going to get my crap together, y'all. I'm sorry. I was paying for the bill, and Coach Wasson came up to me afterwards, and he just stood behind me. He says, as long as I'm on that campus, people will know who your daddy was. What'd he do? He laid down his life for the next generation. What is the legacy we carry? Laying down our life for the next generation. What are we giving for? Not just a beautiful building. We're laying down our life. We're working hard for money, and then we're writing a check or we're giving online to lay down our life for the next generation. And I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about when we're gone, that building will still be there because of your love and your sacrifice and the legacy you have came up beside us to carry. Amen. They may not know my name, but they will feel the faith of those that attended Release City Church, and their lives will be impacted because of our obedience. I believe in 100 years, Chiefland will be a better place because we were here. That's not cocky and arrogant. I just know who my God is. I believe that it will be better because we said yes to God. I believe that it will be better because of our sacrifice. I believe that it will be better because of our prayers. Prayer is everything. If you believe it, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In today's talk, we're gonna look at two areas. We're going to look at the responsibility, actually three. We're going to look at the responsibility of parents and the responsibility of children. And then we're going to look at God's response to our responsibilities. Are you ready? First up is parents. Everybody say, oh me. I'm ready. I lost some of you. It's okay. Listen, if we're going to be godly parents, we want to pursue, and we want to pursue God's plan, we've got to do this very one thing. Ready? Here it is. Parents choose. Parents choose. God said, oh, that you would choose life. Set before all of us is two choices. We can choose life or we can choose death. Your attendance here today is telling God you're choosing life because our world is dying and going to hell. And if that's where you choose to live at, because the Bible says you're in the world, but you're not of it. Hello. The NIV says it this way. God says, now choose life. Everybody say now. Now. Right now. What that means is, that's good news. He says now, not you should have. Not it's too late to choose life. No. He said, now choose life. It's not like he's saying, well, you screwed up your whole life, made all these jacked up decisions. You should have chosen life, but now it's too late. That's not what he said. He said, now, wherever you find yourself at, whatever your family dynamics look like, however jacked up and dysfunctional it may seem, he's saying, right now, choose life. He said, right now, that means wherever you are, whatever you got going on, regardless of the circumstances, right now, choose life. Because we serve the God of grace, and we serve a God who is all about mercy, and we have access to both of those right now. The Bible clearly says that today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. And what I love so much about God is, He can take every mistake that I've ever made. And oh, we would be here all day long if I went through them. He can take all of my mistakes. He can redeem it. He can break its power off my life, and then he can bless it and give it away to the world by using my story for his glory. That kind of goes in line with what he was talking about just a few weeks ago with dirty rags. He can redeem it. He can break its power. He can redeem it and call us blessed, but we don't allow him to break the power because we still try to hold on to it. Listen, if you're here and you're tired of your past dictating and driving your future, God says, now choose life. And I've got good news for any married couple who has hit a rough patch in your marriage. You can choose to turn things around right now. You say, yeah, but we've made some pretty serious mistakes in our marriage and in our family. Romans 8:1 says, now there is no condemnation for those that are in, everybody say in. In Christ. Condemnation is the guilty sentence that we had before we met Christ. That's condemnation. It's the guilty sentence that the enemy wants to keep us up under. Condemnation screams, you missed it, you messed up, and now you'll stay stuck here. No, if you feel stuck at a place, the Bible says, choose life now, right where you are. If you do it now, you can be unstuck just right there, right now. Right there. Are you thankful for God's grace and mercy in this house today? Everybody say, right here, right now. So what do you do with what you do? Write this down. What you do with your now matters. Guess what? Watch this. Stop writing for just a second. Watch this. Now. You'll never get that now back. Did you watch me? Okay, here's another one. Now. You'll never get that now back. Just like you were obedient and looked up because I said look up, God is asking for your same obedience right here, right now. And he's saying choose life. And let me just tell you something. If you fail to choose life, you've already chosen death. Your inability or unwillingness to choose is a choice. Somebody write that down and shoot it to me later in a text. Somebody repeat what I just said, because that was that fast. Your inability and your unwillingness to choose is still a choice. Cole, send that to me. Not because it's my quote. It's because that was a download from heaven. Guess what? I'll never get this now moment back. What you do with your now matters. God says, here's what you do with your now. You choose. That means, listen, because you have a choice, that means you have a say. When it comes to your family, you have a say into what your future looks like. Thank you, sir. Quick poll. How many want God's hand of blessing on your family? Quick poll. Just, you want God's hand of blessing on your family. Here's what you need to know. Nobody stumbles into a blessing. Nobody, you're not gonna get there by accident. You don't stumble into better. You choose it. You're like, oh my gosh, well, look at that. No, you make the choice. And your unwillingness to choose will bring you death. Let me break it down for parents another way. How many parents with kids that still live in your house? Check this out. You don't control your kids, but you do have a responsibility to steer them. Amen. You don't control them, but you do have a responsibility to steer them. I can go to restaurants and see kids who are given headphones and an iPad. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're steering. They're being steered. You don't control them, but you do have a responsibility to steer. And if you give them this free rein, the enemy will steer them right into a dark place. Write this down. Parents who don't, oh, this God gave me, this was so good. Parents who don't steer for their kids will eventually have kids who wreck their lives as adults. Let me say it again. Parents who don't steer for their kids will eventually have kids who will wreck their lives as an adult. I know this is tough stuff, but I have a responsibility to preach tough. I'm no candy striper preacher. Hello. I'm edgy. Listen, I want to say it again. You don't stumble into blessings. You make wise choices that lead to blessing. I'll never forget when I was on staff at the church in Georgia, and our pastor's oldest son came in to his mom's office, Caleb, and he was getting ready to go on a date. And Dedra said, I was in my office and I heard her, Caleb James, make wise choices. She didn't go on the date with him like I wanted to do the first time they went out. They're married now. She didn't go on the date with him. But she steered in that right then, she steered. Caleb James, make wise choices. And I have told our girls that very thing. Make wise choices. So how can we guarantee to make wise choices? By including God in your decision. How do you make wise choices? By including God in every decision. We're talking about having strong families. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but America has been so obsessed with politics. I'm talking about obsessed with politics over the past 20 years. Have you noticed it? Can I tell you why? Because we have weak families. The weaker the family, the more we need government. Think about it. The weaker your family is, the more you have a dependency on little g. Let me explain. Think about it. When a culture rejects God, they need a new God. You don't reject him and he's not replaced. There's only one big G. Everything else is little g. What God is in your life? Hold on. Don't shoot the messenger. I'll move off of this real quick, I promise. Here's what you got to understand. Anytime you reject God, you just replace him with something else. And this isn't something that just happened in America. It actually happened in Israel back in Bible days. The only reason there was a kingdom set up and established in Israel is because the people said, we want a king like everybody else. What am I saying? Anytime you reject God, you replace him with something else to help run or govern your life. I'll say this and I'll move on. The greater the number of weak families that we have, the greater the need for government will be. We're talking about God has a family plan. We're not looking to God, big G, we're looking to government, little g, to solve our problems. We've misplaced our faith. We got people that worship Kamala or whatever her name is. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Biden. People praying to Trump. Have you seen that meme? Trump, if you can hear me. It's real quiet in here. We've misplaced our faith. And we're making choices and allowing other people to make choices. Because we've misplaced. We've taken Big G down and we replaced him with government. The greater the number of weak families, the greater the need for government. What am I saying? When we buy into the lie that we can't choose, we let government choose for us. When you believe the lie that you don't have a choice, you let government begin to choose for you. What am I saying? We choose the values in our home. Let me get off government back into your home. But I wanted to show you where we are in America, that our homes are weak because our dependency shows what our strength or weakness. We choose the values in our home. I never forget one time me and Dad had a run-in. No surprise, right? Dad, everybody else gets to go on. He gets to go on dates. Everybody else gets to take the family car. You know what Dad said? I'm not Dad to everybody else. I'm your dad. This is my house, and I'll run it how I want to. Sit down. I bowed up at Dad one time. I never did it again. I never did it again. Because I went flying across the bedroom. Superman style. You're like, that was a side of Coach Webb. No, there's those of y'all that were in the locker room with Coach Weber, y'all knew a side of Dad that we didn't know in the home. Maybe Josh knew because he got to go in the locker room. But there was a side. Listen. Listen, you choose the values in your home. You choose, we choose the direction of our home. We choose the atmosphere in our home. We choose the sound of our home. What's your home sound like? Bickering and quarreling? Or does it sound like peace, joy? What's it sound like? Listen, if you've got bickering going on, you can choose now, right now. You might have walked out of your house bickering all the way to church. You can choose now to walk back in that house and experience peace. Yeah. Choose now. Hallelujah. Here's why it's so important to have godly values in your home. Because values are passed down. So are the lack of values. Values are passed down. We're talking about passing down. Exodus 29:29-30 says this, Aaron's sacred garments must be preserved for his descendants who succeed him, and they will wear them when they are anointed, right, underline that word, or ordained. The descendant who succeeds him as high priest will wear these clothes. Anointed is talking about spirit. Follow me. Ordained is talking about values. High priest, that's the worship. He was saying, Aaron, what you're wearing, your kids are going to wear one day. They're going to wear your spirit. They're going to wear your values, and they're going to wear your worship. And if you have the spirit of this world, your kids are going to wear it. If you have values that have come from this world, your kids, that will be passed down to your kids. Yeah, amen, brother. And if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something, I promise. Some of y'all, it's Gator football. Well, maybe at the first part of the season. No, I'm serious. No, we worship NASCAR. We'll make all kinds of investments. Y'all don't shoot me. We'll make all kinds of investments when it comes to deer season. Amen. Little G. That's a little G. Anything you replace big G with is a god in your life. And little G. The purpose of little G is to destroy that. I was like, God, is this the message? It should be a soft message for today, right, God? It's Thanksgiving. We're grateful. I don't know. You need to walk away and go, I'm grateful for my pastor. He tells me the truth that God has a plan for my family, and it starts with me. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, some of you need to decide and choose right now. Are you going to pass down generational curses or generational blessings? Bad traits or good traits? You're passing down something. And if you don't have, maybe you don't have kids. I understand that. Listen, there are people that are looking up to you. You're passing down. If they're looking up to you, you're passing down something. It's not just for kids. I'm talking about choosing different for your family. I'm talking about choosing God's plan for your family. Let me keep moving. As parents, of course, we want our kids to have more than what we had when we were growing up. True? True or not true? That's right. Hear me, though. We have become more concerned with our kids being happy and less concerned with our kids being holy. Listen, money can't buy integrity and values. Money can't buy godliness in a prayer life. Money can't buy peace. You may put an iPad and headphones in their hand and around their head, and it may be peaceful for a moment, but they're being steered by something that's going to bring chaos quickly. I get it. We want our kids to have all the things that maybe we didn't have growing up. But hear me, don't ignore the things that money can't buy. Your kids can climb the ladder of success and have all the things that money can buy and still be spiritually bankrupt. Your kids can climb the ladder of success and have all the things that money can buy, but they will be bankrupt spiritually. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, I remember, this is Paul talking to a young Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues in you. That's why I said, what I'm doing today is not specifically for me. The call on my life, it's not Bradley Wayne Weber's call. It's the call and the plan that God put on our last name. My dad, his dad, and I don't remember, Brittany probably knows more than I do. Down the line, there was generations of missionaries and things and people who served in ministry who laid down their life for the next generation. You know why a lot of churches seem dead? Because they're not willing to die to self. When you die to self, that brings life. But when you're unwilling to let your flesh, I'd rather have all that stuff. You've replaced big G with little G. What's he saying? He's saying what you're carrying has been passed down. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. As a church, we're passing down a living faith to a next generation and a new generation. While we're in this room, most Sundays, 200, 250 people. While we're in this room, there's 45 to 50 kids on the other side of that wall who are being given Jesus. Amen. Jesus is being passed down. A living faith is being passed down. Listen, if we're going to see God's family plan fully function in our family, number one, yes, parents must choose. Parents must. I know I didn't put must in there, but parents must choose. And number two, children must honor. I added the must again. Children must honor. It's a must. Everybody say it's a must. God's plan being fully functional in your family is contingent on the must. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Says this, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well. will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, anytime I've heard that verse growing up, children, honor your parents, I automatically envision it to be for students. And right then, all the parents relaxed. But can I tell you that every single one of you came from somewhere, and it wasn't a pond as a tadpole. Hello. You got a mama and you got a daddy. You got here somehow. So now let me say, children, everybody say, that's me. Honor and obey your parents in the Lord because it's good. And if you'll do it, you'll live a long life in the land. That, listen, hold on. Let me read it because I skipped over the word that I wanted to highlight. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a what? This is the only one of the commandments that comes with a promise. He's saying, I promise you, if you do honor your parents, you'll have long life in the land. Amen. You can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. So what does that mean if you don't honor? There's a promise that what? Your life will be short. Everybody say, oh me. Listen. So God attaches a promise to honoring your parents. Listen, when you honor something, you're placing value on it. If I was to take this ring and take it to a jeweler, they're going to weigh it to find out what the value is, and they'll put an amount on it based on the weight that it carries, right? Let me say this about honor. You can honor someone that you don't agree with. Amen. I'm talking about you and your parents. Because not everybody has a kosher relationship with their parents. Amen. Listen, you can also honor someone you don't respect. Amen. How is that? Because honor is something that's on the inside of you that you give away. They may not be deserving of it, but the honor is going this way, not this way. You carry honor. If you're an honorable person, then the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Anytime God tells you to do something, he has equipped you and empowered you to do the thing that he's telling you to do. Amen. So, some of y'all like, yeah, but you don't know my parents. You don't know my dad. You don't know my mom. Hold on, I'm fixing to address that. Because I don't. He does. And his word says, still honor your father and mother. I'm almost done. Let me say it again. You don't have to agree with them, and you don't have to respect their decisions in order to honor them. What does it mean to honor? Number one, it means to forgive. Show forgiveness. That's honor. Listen, honor, it. How do you honor? You forgive. Listen, honoring your parents begins by forgiving your parents. Forgiveness doesn't mean what they did to you is okay. Forgiveness is saying, because I want to live a long life in the land and I want to do what the Bible says, I can't do that carrying your stuff. Because for some of us, we had parents that came from the old days. Everybody say old days. And they didn't know anything about they weren't taught about emotional therapy and they don't know. There's a whole different breed today, y'all. My dad used to say it this way. And now I see it. I see it. He taught me it, really. I am. Because he's watching. I lost it. It was right there. It'll come back. Oh, here it is. It's because it wasn't modeled for them. You're like, well, I wish my dad was like this, or I wish like my mom was like that. They're exactly how it was modeled for them. There may have been a stretch of something they became that wasn't like, but can I tell you, our dad was just like Papa. And ministry will do that to you. Hard. Dad loved people. I'm not dishonoring my father, so don't take it that way. But towards the latter part of his life and time here on earth, we saw a change in Dad. Ministry will do that. My dad taught me so much through his life and his death, which is why I make sure that I stay healthy. It's why people will text me on Monday and said, enjoy your day off, as a reminder that you're not doing this thing 24/7. Because Dad did it 24/7, and it killed him. So don't get mad at your parents if they're not reaching the goal, and maybe it just wasn't modeled for them. Everybody say forgiveness. Listen, some of you need to forgive your parents that are living, and some of you need to forgive your parents that are no longer here. It's going before God and saying, I'm letting that go so that it will go well with me. Okay? Number two, what does honoring look like? I must speak well of my parents. I must speak well of my parents. Me and Dad didn't get along. You know why? Because he and I were, we didn't get along all the time. We had some rough patches in our relationship. You know why? Because we're both hard-headed. And you know why? Another reason why? Because there's another, it's something else that comes with Weber. We're hard-headed. I know. Shocked, right? Not you. Okay, y'all aren't laughing anymore. Listen. That means even though I can see the good, the bad, and the ugly of whatever is happening with my parents, I choose to celebrate the good. Honoring is choosing to celebrate the good while not being tripped up by the bad. Write that down. I'm almost done, I know. You're like, it's getting close to 12. Do you know what time it is? I do know what time it is. But God said, give them that. Honoring your parents is celebrating the good while not getting tripped up by the bad. Let me say it this way. Honoring your parents means choosing to see God's plan. Let me explain what I mean. Psalms 139 says, there is a book in heaven with your name on it. There's a book in heaven with Cindy's name on it. There's a book in heaven with Adam's name on it. There's a book in heaven with Chris's name on it. Watch this. God is writing a book about your life, and there's a book in heaven with your name on it. That means God chose your parents as the vessels to bring you into the earth. God's plan. Everybody say God's plan. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't have chosen my parents. Okay, they might not have chosen you, but God did. Listen, but God chose your parents to bring you into the earth. You're thinking, well, if I was writing the story, I'd have picked somebody else. Last time I checked, the pen wasn't in your hand. You're not writing your story, God is. And he knew. Listen, this week has so helped me see as I look back over my life and the disappointments, and some of the disappointments were because of choices that I made. Other things, disappointments were because of choices that other people in my life made. But listen, when I think how my story was written, like many of you, my story has not always been easy. But we must honor the vessels that God used to get us here as a part of our story. And here's what I know. Every single hard thing that I went through, every disappointment, every moment where I felt like I didn't measure up or fit in, those were actually seeds that God deposited on the inside of me to allow me to move away from home at 19 years old and become independent. That inevitably led me back to this place. Every disappointment, every heartache, failed marriage, failed relationships, made stupid choices and decisions, all of that God used as a seed to plant my feet right here in front of you in Chiefland, Florida. Every single one of them, every single time. All right, let me start bringing this down. We're talking about honoring our parents. Listen, Solomon and Absalom, David's kids, had the same father, but they saw him, they both had very different futures, and they saw their father differently. Listen. Solomon honored his dad. Absalom dishonored his dad. For you and I, we must choose. Are we going to see our parents through the lens of honor? Or are we going to see our parents through the lens of dishonor? What story will you tell? This is how Absalom saw his dad. Absalom saw his dad David, the psalmist, David, King David, right? He saw him as the man of war, the man of violence, the adulterer, and the absentee dad. That's David. That's little David, the shepherd boy with Goliath. Remember the story? Absalom could only see his dad through the lens of David's weakness. And it didn't destroy David, it destroyed Absalom. But look how Solomon saw his daddy. As the wisest man to ever live, he never had conflict during his reign. King David never had conflict during his reign because God gave him peace. Solomon never had conflict during his reign because he had peace in the kingdom because he found honor for his dad. Whew. This is how Solomon saw his dad. That David, he said, my dad's a man after God's own heart. He's an imperfect worshiper, but yet he still worships. Yeah. We'll come in and not worship because we know what we've done wrong. Yeah. No, it's you coming in and getting into worship, knowing you did something wrong, but you serve a God who is full of grace and mercy. Yes. Solomon said he's a sinner, but he's a repented sinner. Yeah. He is the great psalmist of Israel. He's God's anointed. What am I saying? We got to be able to look at our parents and go, although they're not perfect, they are God's vessel that got me here to this place. Therefore, I choose to honor them. In closing, when all of this happens, when parents choose and when children honor, number three, thought I forgot it, didn't you? God responds. God responds. If you're in a season of your life where God's not responding, maybe it's because you're choosing wrong and you're failing to honor. Because when you choose life and when you obey and honor, children honor, God will respond. God says, when you do family my way, verse 20 that I was at earlier, I will let you live for many years in the land that I promised. This whole thing has been about destiny. Last week we talked about being drafted by destiny. This is about God's will. This is about God's plan for your life. Remember what I said at the very beginning. God has a plan for your family and it starts with you. When you choose God's way, God chooses to bless. I'm through when I tell you this. When we think about God, we think about God blessing people. We think that God is giving favor to people. We look at people and go, well, they've got the favor of God on their life. Hold on. God doesn't favor people. He favors principles. When you obey his principles and precepts, you get favor. Because when you fall into his principles and line up with his precepts, that's where the favor comes. Because on your own, there's no favor. Disobedience doesn't bring favor. With our girls, when they were disobedient, I won't name any names, but over the years, when they were told to do something and they did the exact opposite, after we got through of, have you lost your mind? They didn't find favor with mom and dad. They found a holy anger. Listen, God doesn't favor people. He favors principles. So earlier when I said, how many want God to bless your home and find favor in your home? Choose his principles. When I did that and every hand went up, so how does that happen? Choose to obey his principles. When people align themselves with God's principles, they experience God's favor. The whole message today was to encourage you to be a part of what God is doing. Live your life. Adam, get ready. I'm done. Live your life God's way. Be aware that God has a plan for your family. And when you do family God's way, he will bless your family and you will find favor. My prayer today is that you would walk out of this place today with this mindset. As for me and my house, we choose now. You'll never get now back. I choose now to stand and say all over this room. I choose right now to stand and say, come on, somebody stand and say. The faster you stand, the faster we get out of here. You to choose right now. Everybody say right now. Say right now, I choose. As for me and my house, we will, let's go, serve the Lord. Somebody give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Hallelujah.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.